Chief of Staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I have a very special guest with me. Shay King is with the Racine Public Library. Shay, so glad you're here.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Good. Now, tell us a little bit about what you do. I saw business in your title, and I guess I don't think of the library as doing business, so to speak.
Right. Well, I like to say that my title, Head of Business Development, is a funny way of saying Head of Marketing. So I'm the person in charge of promotions, communications, anything that involves getting us out to the public.
Perfect. Can you tell me just a little bit, because I do get your emails, what ways do you reach out to the community? Where can people find you and find the public library?
So you mentioned the emails. That is my favorite one to recommend to people. We send out a weekly newsletter on every Friday, and you can sign up for those if you're not already by going to racinelibrary.info/newsletter. Other than our newsletter, we also have a Facebook and an Instagram that you can find on our website with racinelibrary.info. Our website homepage is a good one to check for our top 3 to 5 biggest updates. You can always see a banner and a slider with images on the front of the page for anything that is currently big that we're trying to put out. And I also send updates to our local newspapers on a weekly basis. So you can always watch for the Journal Times or the Racine County Eyes weekly postings of our programs, in addition to other stories that come out about us from time to time.
Wonderful. Well, I was excited to invite you to be on the show because I see such amazing programming happen at the Racine Public Library. You know, so many of us think about, you know, story time and, you know, and maybe a book club here or there, but there really is a ton of things that you folks are doing for all levels of folks, whether it's kids or teens or adults. So can you tell us a little bit, tell me, what's your favorite thing that you're doing?
Well, I'm going to say that the name of the program is the Stitch and Enrich. I'm not going to tell you its real name because I don't know if your producers would be a fan of that.
Okay, we like Stitch and Enrich.
Yes, Stitch and Enrich. Which is a fiber arts program where you can come and bring your knitting, crocheting, embroidery. It's an open stitch time for folks who already know how to do it. We don't yet have an instructional component, though we're hoping to build that out. And it's my favorite because me and my marketing colleague, Elkid Alvarez Maldonado, are running it together. And it's actually my first library program that I've ever hosted, as opposed to just being the person to market it. So,
very nice. Not a very strong spot for it. Stitch?
Yes.
Okay. And
I'm a knitter myself.
Great.
I'm the knitter. Elkid's the crocheter. Sometimes I'll bring in cross stitch. We've had somebody bring in embroidery. A couple people will come in hoping to work on their sewing. So it's really anything to do with yarn and thread that you can imagine.
That's just intriguing. And it's almost enough to get me back to kind of cross, which I did for years. And then, you know, then you have kids and you just don't have time to do that.
They're very time-consuming hobbies. So part of the intent was to give people a time to come in and say, well, I'm going to stop into the library and pick up my books. I'll drop into the Stitch and Enrich and hang out with some other fellow book lovers, yarn lovers, etc., and build a sense of community while you're working on your projects that way.
Oh, that's great. Does it meet on a regular basis? Always on a certain day?
So we meet on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday of every month, with the exception of the last session for this one is happening before this show airs. So the next time the Stitch and Enrich will be going out will be the second Tuesday of January. And we meet
at what time?
5 to 6:30. And you can find us in the business center on the second floor. If you ask at any of the desks, we'll be able to point you in that direction.
The business center. Why do I not recognize the name, the business center?
It's new. You might have heard that we did a major renovation on our second floor earlier this year. Which brought in, we already had a lot of space upstairs. So what we did was better sectioned off, made more aesthetic, beautiful, easy to navigate the spaces that we have up there. So we have a couple of new spaces, the business center being one of them. And that is a meeting room slash sort of communal study room, if you want to think of it like that. It's got printer stations set up in it. It's the quietest room in the building, and it's got tons of tables and chairs and a really beautiful view of the lake.
Oh, okay. Well, I know where it is anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. That's wonderful. And I would guess, and tell me if I'm wrong, it's probably a really well-lit room.
Yes.
I gotta have that if I'm gonna stitch again.
It's well lit, and we actually can dim or brighten the lights in the room depending on how cozy folks would like it to be.
Oh, wow. That is very cool. How long has the Stitch and Enrich been going on?
We just started it in September, so it's very new as far as programming goes. And it has actually a counterpart program called Hooks and Needles.
Ooh.
So the Stitch and Enrich is open to teens and adults, but Hooks and Needles is open specifically to teens. Our teen librarian, Carrie, saw that we needed a session that helped introduce younger folks to the craft. And this one's actually hosted in the afternoon in Teen Scene, which is another one of the new rooms that our renovation set up for us. It's like a clubhouse for teens almost. So Hooks and Needles, our final session for the year is going to be Wednesday, December 20th. That's 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. So it's a great time for anybody who has the day off of school or anybody who's doing homeschooling, remote learning, anything like that. And Carrie's a great instructor, and she's there to help you get started with knitting, crocheting, or if you want to just come hang out and work on any projects you have in process, then it's a great space to do that, too.
That is absolutely amazing. I had no idea. So we are off to a great start. That is wonderful. Good. So what else? What other kinds of programming have you that would appeal to all the different audiences that you have?
Well, we have a large age range selection of programs for our Innovation Lab, actually. Are you familiar with the Innovation Lab?
I wish you would talk about that. I think I am so proud that we have that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, please let the listeners know what all that includes.
And I'll tell you what, the Innovation Lab is one of the things that makes my job of marketing the library so much easier to do because there's so much to talk about. So the Innovation Lab, it did exist before our renovation, but we have spruced it the heck up. So we've got a variety of learning stations set up throughout that are great for both tech help and our programs where you can come in and try different STEAM activities. And STEAM, that's science, tech, engineering, arts, and math. So we are heaviest on the tech part of that, of course. But you'll get little tastes of it all throughout the programming that we do there. And the space has 3D printers, it has laser engravers, and you can even write into the hosts of the room. You can find their email address by going to racinelibrary.info/innovation-lab. And you can write into them and tell them, I would really like a 3D print of a miniature dragon. And then they'll say, great, we'll have that ready for you in like 3 to 5 business days. And you can come pick it up. And that's just a little taste of what they do, even outside programs.
That's amazing. A 3D print of a little dragon.
Yeah.
Is going to be a little dragon.
Yes.
Made out of paper, whatever.
So the machines use something, I think it's called filaments of plastic. So they'll heat up plastic to a high temperature that's very moldable, and then they'll print it out by using tiny little lines that map out exactly to the shapes that you want it to come out in. And the machines are very smart. So we've seen them used to make really cool fidget toys. So, like, articulated dragons is another option. It also has different flexibilities of filament. So you could have a very rigid item that you don't want to be moldable, but you could also have something more flexible. Like, if the strap that holds your water bottle lid to the water bottle breaks, there's probably a model for that that somebody has created that you can then tell the Innovation Lab staff, I'd like to print this on a flexible filament. And then they can do that for you. And we have a variety of colors too, some metallics, some gradients. So you can, there's a lot to play around with there.
Now, is there a charge for that?
No, it's free.
All I need is my library card? Oh my gosh.
You don't even have to have a library card. You just have to have an email or stop in to ask about the prints yourself. We do, of course, encourage everybody to sign up for a library card when they come in, because you'll have access to, of course, all of our items and digital titles for checkout. But we want to make the barrier to entry very low, so you don't need to run around the library, stop at the desk, bring in your address before you can start getting something 3D printed for you.
That is absolutely amazing. Is it busy all the time, the 3D printer?
Yes, it's been picking up, which is why we tell folks we'll have it ready for you in a few days. Something that surprised me when I started asking for my own prints to be made there was how long the machines can take to very, very painstakingly lay out all of the materials to make your item. So an item about the size of my phone, just as an estimate, probably takes about 3 hours to print.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it.
So we have several machines to try to keep up demand. We've purchased also high quality ones. So this is a little bit of a nerd detail for your listeners. But if you've handled 3D printed objects before, sometimes you'll notice there's a lot of fine lines and ridges. Like, you can see the lines that the machine used to shape the item. But some of our machines are so detailed that you can actually barely see the lines. It's like a smooth object almost. But the more detailed it is, the longer it takes to do its work. So we'll always give folks a time estimate or let them know. We'll send you an email when your item's ready to pick up.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking with the holidays ahead, and if I had an ornament that I loved, but
exactly.
I broke,
yes.
could you replace that?
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Is there a limit to how many times I can ask you to do stuff for me?
It's very case by case, but for the most part, as long as the print isn't too big for the machines, would take so long that the machine would be tied up like all day. We can accommodate almost anything. We ask our visitors to not use it for any mass production of anything. So if you need a few objects for something, that would be well within our ability.
Okay.
If you need several, however, of an item, we might be able to have a conversation, but we can't make guarantees because we try to keep the service available to a wide audience.
Sure, sure. What's the most, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, but I have to ask, what's the most unusual thing you've ever been asked to create?
Well,
that you can talk about on the radio.
There happens to be there's a huge variety of, some of them very useful, some of them very beautiful, and some of them very strange models that you can get 3D printed. So one of the items that I've had printed before is, it's just very strange. It's a little truck model that is attached to a human foot.
Oh my. I'm sure that must have meaning to someone.
I suppose so. I think of it as a conversation piece. I could imagine a kid bringing that home to their mom and being, "Mom, look what I made." And the mom has no idea how to respond. She's baffled. The kid thinks it's hilarious. So, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
An opportunity for connection, if you will.
Yeah, no kidding. So what else happens in the Innovation Lab? What other things go on in there?
Well, we also have virtual reality headsets.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try that.
Right? They're really cool. So when we have Maker Mondays or VR-focused programs, we'll set up a TV with the VR headset all hooked up, and then you can try different expeditions. So you might be able to walk through an underwater scene, or I'm just making up examples because I haven't seen all of the samples, but like you could walk through a cloudy palace or stroll through a mystical forest or something like that.
Oh, what, could I climb a mountain?
Oh, yeah.
I've always wanted to, because I could never do that in real life.
Right?
I always wanted to do that in VR.
And it's really fun for viewers, too. So it's not for the self-conscious. You're going to look a little silly, and that's part of the fun, because you're going to have this big headset on. You're going to be holding these goofy controllers. But the TV is for anybody who's looking on to be able to enjoy the experience with you, and maybe laugh at you a little bit as you figure out how to use the controls.
Of course. And as you sway to the palm trees or whatever, that is absolutely incredible. I had no idea. Do I need to make an appointment to do that? Or you mentioned there were a couple of times that you had available to do that.
Yeah. So how about, let me start by running you through our list of programs for the Innovation Lab. We do appointments for tech help sessions. But as far as to try out the tech, to come in person and use it, that would be the best chance to come in would be to visit during one of our programs.
Okay. So, now, you mentioned tech help sessions.
Yes.
If I get a new tablet for Christmas,
bring it in. No
clue how to use it, can you guys help?
Yes, we sure can. So our staff are all very, very tech savvy, very hands-on as far as that goes. So we have folks who have worked with tech for years. We have some younger folks who are getting computer science degrees, and they are all incredibly hospitable, very just easy to work with. They'll sit you down at one of the stations in the Innovation Lab, and they'll walk you through the basics of how to use your device. Like, what hand gestures do you need to use? How do you navigate the App Store? How can you make a phone call? If you have any questions at all about anything that's eluded you about our very complicated technology that we have to use,
we're
here to help.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I can come in and know that they're not going to roll their eyes at me.
No,
because
never.
Because I can't handle this new telephone, this new cell phone that I got for Christmas, because my kids insisted I needed to learn to FaceTime.
You can
do that.
There's genuinely a knowledge gap from when you go to get your electronics and bring it home, you're not necessarily being imbued with all of the skills that you need to know to use every feature of the device. They're too complicated. It's not something that's necessarily taught in school, although some schools are picking up on it. So that's another element of literacy for us, just as much as making books and knowledge and information available to our patrons. We want to help them navigate the technology that we rely on in our world.
That is phenomenal. And the tech help, do I make an appointment to do that? Do you have certain times that I can come in?
You can always stop in and ask about availability, but for the best chances of success, you should send an email in advance to tech.help@racinelibrary.info, and they can work with your schedule and figure out what's a good time to bring you in as long as the library is open during that availability.
If I don't have a computer and I can't email you, is there another way I could get in touch?
Of course. And that would be a good time to make a phone call to us.
Okay.
And our main line is 262-636-9217. And all you have to do when you call in is, I don't remember off the top of my head if the Innovation Lab is in our phone tree, but if you get connected to any, to a main desk, if you're not going directly to our technology folks, then just let them know what you need and they'll help you get started with that.
Okay, and of course, pick any number and yes. Then ask. Okay.
And of course, anytime you drop in, we can make that appointment for you. So we might have availability on the spot, or we might say, let's get something scheduled. But
oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So in person, over the phone, over email, any of those are options for getting signed up.
Okay. Well, I took you off of the direction you were headed in just because I think
this is good though.
Important. What else is going on up in the Innovation Lab?
All right. So we have programs for as young as preschoolers and toddlers. It's a newer program that we've been piloting since the summer, and it's called Preschool and Toddler STEAM Time. And this is a great chance for parents to introduce their little ones to all of the different concepts that go under STEAM. So again, that's science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, through fun and interactive activities that we've set up throughout. So you might get to play with very simple kid-friendly robots to get a little early taste of engineering. For slightly older, maybe more toddlers who have used a tablet before, we have apps on our tablets that will teach you the building blocks of coding, actually.
Ooh.
Because a lot of people think of coding as lines of text, really confusing symbols. But what these apps do is they can break down all of that confusing language into building blocks, virtual building blocks. So then you can just drag and drop and play and see what different functions do to trigger different occurrences. And, you know, you start thinking about it from a problem-solving standpoint, from a creation standpoint. Like, what can I make? What can I build in this virtual world? So if that kid then someday wants to go into computer science, coding, they've already got an early introduction to it from when they were very young.
That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely. It's like children's story time on steroids.
I know.
I love that.
Our next session is Wednesday, December 20th, 11 to noon. And of course, it's in the Innovation Lab, which is on our second floor. Right next to our computer stations, which are right next to the new Lake Avenue entrance.
Nice. Now, I'm assuming children need to be accompanied by an adult, a parent,
yes,
or
please. Yes.
A babysitter or somebody. Okay.
We're great at working with kids, but there's some things that the parents are best at.
Okay. Very good. Very well put. Okay. And does that happen on a regular basis?
It does, but because we're about to roll over into the new year, we are still configuring some of our dates.
Okay.
So the best thing I can recommend for folks who would like to attend in the new year would be to watch our calendar at racinelibrary.info/calendar, or of course, sign up for our newsletter, or keep an eye on any of our other promotional platforms so that you hear about it as soon as we have our dates in the new year squared away for that.
Great. Anything else in the Innovation Lab we should talk about before we take a quick break?
Yeah, let me share with you. We have several, of course, but I will give you just a hint of what is coming around the corner in the new year before we head off for a break. So a lot of our tech help programs have focused on the very basics so far of tech skills. So that's how to use your phone, how to get started with Windows. But I'm really excited to share that looking into the new year, we're also launching some new tech help sessions for more advanced computer users. So if you would be interested in learning how to use a new operating system, for example, if you'd like to get started with Linux, we can help you get set up with that. Or if you are interested in learning how to build your own computer, you can watch for the dates when we will be offering that. And we also have one that I'm sure many of us will find very helpful, a virus prevention and correction workshop.
Ooh.
What to do if your computer's been infected. We will walk you through within our abilities. There's some things that we might have to refer someone to a specialist for.
Sure.
But we can walk you through the basics of how to clean up viruses from your computer. And that's on Friday, January 5th, noon to 1 p.m. and that takes place the first Friday and the second to last Friday of every month. So there will be multiple chances if you can't make it in on January 5th.
That is amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And if you are just joining us, my guest on today's Community Matters is Shay King. Shay is with the Racine Public Library. And I'm sure if you missed the beginning, you were wondering where all of these amazing things are taking place. But the Racine Public Library is located in downtown Racine, right on the lakefront, with probably one of the most gorgeous views in the whole world. And so we are just talking about all the wonderful things that the library has to offer. So glad that you're here with us on Community Matters right here on WGTD HD Public Radio. So Shay, tell me more.
All right. So we've talked a lot about the Innovation Lab. And another pillar of our services or programs are the social services oriented one. So just to give you a brief introduction on that, in case any of our listeners don't know, we hired a full-time social worker for the very first time in late 2021. So she's been with us for a couple of years, and this is another element of our literacy in that sometimes folks need help navigating life or benefits or, you know, taking care of themselves at a very basic level. Libraries aren't just about books anymore. They're also about connections. And that's kind of the idea behind us having a social worker. So our social worker and other librarians will then work with partner providers throughout the community. So they might provide SNAP benefits or government phone benefits. We have a memory cafe. We have a citizenship training where you get training to take your citizenship class to make sure that you have everything you need to know. So we have several, but I will pick a couple of them to give you more details about, and invite you all to explore our calendar at racinelibrary.info/calendar for other social services offerings that we have as programs throughout our calendar.
That is absolutely amazing. Is having a social worker on board unique to the Racine Public Library, or is that kind of a national movement? I am absolutely floored.
It's a national movement for sure, but it's also very new. So we were the second library in Wisconsin to hire a full-time social worker. I believe the first one was Eau Claire, a little bit north of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. So they are there to work with anybody. And I hesitate to use the word patron because that all sounds too stuffy to me.
I know.
But anybody who comes into the library with a need for something. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned citizenship. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's one of the things that's in my wheelhouse as a literacy consultant for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, of course.
And that's absolutely an amazing service.
Yes. So the program is called Spanish and English Citizenship Exam Classes. And the partner who's running the program is Voces de la Frontera. You might be familiar. Our next session of that is going to be Wednesday, December 20th. And the Spanish, for Spanish speakers, if you're taking the Spanish exam, the class is going to be 2 to 4 p.m. that day. If you're taking the English exam, the class will be 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. And those times are the same every single week, as long as we're not closed for a holiday. So it'll be Wednesday, December 20th. It'll be again on December 27th and every Wednesday following that. Visitors can come into as many or as few of the classes as would be helpful. So it's not set up in a way where you need to be present for an extended period of time. You just drop in and the hosts will help you out with any questions you have and start with you based on whatever skill set you're at with the exam courses.
Okay. So you cover the famous 100 question and answers. You also cover things like the writing and the speaking part of the exam?
I believe we do, but that would be the best possible question for our hosts to answer.
Of course.
So this is actually one that I surprisingly don't have the most information on, and I pride myself on knowing almost everything about our programs.
Okay. That is absolutely amazing. I had no idea, and yeah. I thought I knew what was going on in my community. I know. Wow. And what other kinds of services are people receiving because of the social worker?
Well,
what if I'm homeless? What if I'm...
We can help with that. There's... Yes. So the way that she'll often frame it to me, her name is Ashley. She's lovely, by the way. Yes. Ashley will frame it as she can't do counseling, but she will provide resource referrals, like a human connection, and just basic peer one-to-one, like, what's going on with you, what do you need, and who do I know that can get you some help. So it makes the process of navigating the system of how to find housing or how to sign up for different benefits just a lot easier. Some of the folks who need these services are coming in at the worst possible moments of their lives. They're frazzled, exactly. They're stressed, and some of them may or may not have, say, internet access to be able to go online and read through the instructions on how to access some of these services, if the instructions are even written in layman's terms that you can digest.
Right.
So the concept behind having a social worker here is that it's somebody compassionate who is familiar with the services, has walked that pathway with many other community members before, and knows how to get you from A to B. And she can't do it for you, but she will definitely make the process a lot easier.
That is absolutely amazing. And again, that's a free service to anybody who needs it.
That's right. That's free. And you don't need to have a library card, but of course we do invite you to sign up for one if you don't have one when you come in.
Well, of course. Of course. Good. Good. What else? What else is going on? What other kinds of programs? We haven't even begun to talk about books and
reading. I know.
Book clubs.
Well, if you're interested in book clubs, we actually have a virtual anti-racism book group.
Ooh.
And this one's been meeting for a long time. I've been with the library for a couple of years, and it's been an ongoing program every single Monday since even before I came on staff. But our next session is Monday, December 18th. It's 1 to 3 p.m., and it's hosted over Zoom. So in order to get signed up for it, you'll need to register for it in advance by emailing Melissa Donaldson. It's Melissa.Donaldson, Donaldson, at racinelibrary.info, and she'll get you signed up, get you situated with the link for our next sessions.
And where will I find out what book it is that we're reading?
So either Melissa or the host of the show, I believe, will send that to you in advance. And there are always books that you can check out through the library, or you can get an interlibrary loan if we don't have enough copies. And I believe that we do sometimes have giveaways depending on how high the need for the books is. It all depends on the session, but yeah, it's great reading for a great cause, because I find that a lot of the folks who are learning what to do about racism and other social injustices, the biggest barrier is not feeling informed enough to participate in the conversation. So the virtual anti-racism book group is a great way to build your competence with that, so that you feel more empowered to participate while getting started with those conversations in a safe, non-judgmental environment.
That is absolutely amazing. I know I've heard titles thrown around over the years, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize it was an organized, happening all the time program. Oh. That is just phenomenal. Well, and I have to fill in here. Melissa was our guest last month.
Awesome.
On the radio show. Yeah, she was talking about her work with the Big Sisters. So we know her name, and we know that she's an easy person to connect with. So
sure,
I'm glad to know that she's involved in that piece of it.
Yes.
So what else? What other kinds of booky things can we hear about?
Well, we do teach you how to write books, if you're interested in that.
Oh, wow.
It's called the Young Writers Guild. It's so many people have asked for a session for adults. that we're looking into. But right now, the program that we host is for ages 8 to 18.
Okay.
So you can find that on the first floor in Youth Services in the Martin Room. And if you stop at any of the service desks, we can point you in the right direction. It's on Monday, December 18th, 5 to 6 p.m. And while that's our last session for the year, you can watch our calendar at racinelibrary.info/calendar for the dates for sessions in early 2024.
And how many kids come out to this?
It depends on the session, whether it's one kid or several kids. Our instructor for that session, Carrie, is really good at working with you, figuring out what elements of writing you're interested in, and she'll actually take you through writing prompts, presentations on how to maybe make a map for your story. And then there's always an invitation to share what you've been writing, to workshop it if you want to. And then there's a period of time where everybody just sits together and sees what they can come up with. They'll write according to a prompt, or they'll keep working on their stories or poems. And it's a great way to learn the basics of creative writing and also get a chance to practice them with other writers.
That is just incredible. I am so pleased to hear that that's going on. Has anybody published anything that has come out of that program? Do you know that?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't know if we've been hosting it for long enough, but okay. I know that Racine just has a lot of creative writers.
We
do. It feels like every few months, we have another author come with a book for us to talk about adding to the collection that they've written themselves here locally. So I imagine that it's only going to be a matter of time before one of the folks who grew up with us in the program comes and says, hey, I wrote my first book, all thanks to you.
Right. Oh, that is absolutely amazing. And I know you just mentioned the Martin Room, the Peg Martin Room.
Yes,
and many of our listeners will remember Peg. She was my first story hour lady when I was a little kid. And then my daughter went to her story hours, and even my granddaughter got to meet her. So I am so delighted that the public library recognized the huge impact that Peg had on the juvenile division or the kids division of the library.
And that she was before my time, so although I never got to meet her, she's like this legend that I hear stories about her every single week, and she definitely has had a very lasting impression on the library.
Oh, for certain. That's wonderful. That is very cool. Well, and since we're down in the children's area, what else is going on down there?
All right, let me find some of our children's programs for you. I have a whole list to the side off here that I'm scrolling through to find the right ones.
Got it.
Tween Crafts is another one. So our Tween Crafts are a bit of a newer program this is one of the first times in a while that we've had programs focused just on tweens. So that's ages 9 to 12 for our purposes.
Okay.
They're hosted by our super cool staff member, Keontae. She's got a ton of personality. She's a very vibrant person. And she's got really creative crafts that tweens can come in and make with her. So for our December 21st session, which is 4:30 to 6 p.m., we're going to make personalized stencil bags.
Ooh. I like the sound of that.
I know.
It's a little bit of fiber and art and textiles and all kinds of things going on.
And it's handy.
No kidding. No kidding. Well, and it keeps the mess out of mom's kitchen.
Of course.
And that puts it down by you. So I love that. That is very cool. And the date on that again is when?
The date is Thursday, December 21st, 4:30 to 6 p.m.
Great. Great. And the ages, again, 9 to?
9 to 12.
Okay. That's a really neat age group of really creative,
I know,
creative minds.
And you're catching
what else is going on down there?
Well, you're catching us at a funny time of year. So normally I have every single day there's a story time in the youth services area. But we've just finished our sessions of story times for the year by the time this is airing.
Okay.
So, of course, next year we're coming up on another batch of tween crafts, crafts for youngsters, the continuation of all of our classic story times. It's every single Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that's, we have some awesome youth librarians down there who all take turns hosting them. We even have volunteers who come in and do it. Some of you may be familiar with Gail and her Wednesday family story time sessions. So all that's coming back early 2024, but we are on our holiday break from story times right now.
Okay, makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Well, we've only got a few minutes left. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone for us. Can you, is there anything that we've missed? Any other things that you want to touch on that people should be aware of? And then I want you to give phone numbers and email addresses and all of that sort of stuff.
Beautiful. So, one really cool story time sort of session that we have coming up early next year is Ojibwe storytelling with the Wisconsin Historical Society. So that'll be Tuesday, January 9th, 7 to 8 p.m., and it's an all-ages program, but it's actually happening every single Tuesday in the month of January. So the first session will be January 9th, and then it'll be every Tuesday after that. And you can find us in the youth services for that. The reason that the timing is so special is because in Ojibwe culture, winter is the season of storytelling. So the Wisconsin Historical Society is celebrating by featuring Ojibwe storytellers in a four-part airing of a new video series that they've been putting together, and some discussion will follow the video, and it'll be just a really neat opportunity to learn about a new culture if you aren't familiar with the Ojibwe people and hear some really cool stories.
Wow, that is phenomenal. There has been, it feels to me like, a resurgence in appreciating the Native American culture.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that we're doing something with that area. That's wonderful.
Agreed. We are all about trying to find opportunities to tell the stories of people of all nations, whether it's Hispanic Heritage Month, Black History Month, Ojibwe storytelling. It feels like there's almost always something going on that'll introduce you to somebody new.
That's great. Now, Let's do a quick review for our listeners.
All right.
In the minute or so we have left. Racine Public Library, located in downtown Racine. Website is, if I want to check out what's going on,
racinelibrary.info. You can visit the calendar at racinelibrary.info/calendar, or you can sign up for a newsletter to get emails about all of our programs at racinelibrary.info/newsletter.
Okay. And you also mentioned you're on Facebook, and I do see you there.
So
and Instagram, was that the other one?
Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. And can I find those on your website?
Yes, those are on the
click
website.
On them and, okay, good. And one last time, the phone number for people who like the old-fashioned way
of course.
Getting
the
in
touch.
The
phone number is 262-636-9217, and for any of the programs where registration is required, or if you want to get started with a 3D print or sign up for a tech help session, you can call in at 262-636-9217 and we'll help you get started.
Shay, this was absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much.
You're
for
so
sharing
welcome.
Such great information. And thanks to all of you who joined us today. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, I speak with Alexander R. Brash, author of A Whaler at Twilight, a true account of whaling and redemption in the South Pacific. Brash's great-great-grandfather, Robert Armstrong, joined a whaling expedition in the 1840s and wrote a detailed account of it that lay forgotten and lost for more than a century. His journal forms the basis for this absolutely fascinating book. We'll be talking about it on Monday's morning show, beginning just after 8.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music.